fellow.
We are controlling transmission.
Yee-hoo! Have a trouble with 11?
Hey, fiends, have you entered our Dig Up the Holidays giveaway? To celebrate the season, we're giving away all kinds of Nightmare on Film Street goodies. Our new holiday tees, our first ever enamel pin, stickers, and lots more. Enter now at nofspodcast.com/contest.
Fellow fiends, welcome to another terrifying and delectable episode of Nightmare on Film Street. The horror podcast with zero credibility, but all of the blood, ghouls, and gore your puny heart can handle. Let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And today we are bringing you another Kim-curated classic.
It was not Kim-curated. It was actually group-curated this week. I posted the Once Bitten. It wasn't a trailer. It was one of those Facebook videos, you know, those mostly garbage videos, but this one was actually pretty good.
This one wasn't a recipe of somebody just mashing butter and sugar together.
It's healthy! And you're like, no. But the video was starring a young Jim Carrey, and it looked absurd, and I had never seen it before, nor had I even heard of this film. I may have heard about it, but not that I can recall. The group, lit a fire about this movie. So many people were talking about it. It was amazing. Actually, it was pretty mixed 50-50 between people being like, no, this movie's great, and what is this movie?
Yeah.
There was no, oh, I've seen it, it's not good. So I, in true Nightmare on Film Street fashion, forced John to watch it for this week's episode.
I'm never excited for super bad horror movies.
I am always excited for super bad horror movies.
There's a time and place for it, but I kind of want to just have a bunch of drinks, laugh, and then think nothing of it. And to sit down and talk about it just is such a weird added step.
Yeah, but this is at least on our terms.
Very true. My first reaction to this movie was, oh, we should pair this with My Boyfriend's Back. I remember very little of it.
It was our first instinct to pair it with My Boyfriend's Back, which somebody in the group was totally like, yeah, pair it with that.
It's probably because I couldn't remember a damn thing about it.
Yeah, we still went on this hunt for movies. So we ended up watching...
Was it My Best Friend's a Vampire?
Yes.
We started watching
that. We'll get back to it.
Great poster.
And then we watched Earth Girls Are Easy with Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum.
I think leads me into a very important question. Kim, what's keeping you creepy this week?
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. As always... Mr. Goldblum.
Can I just say, though, that late 80s Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis is my new life goals.
Yeah?
Yeah, I fart and love them.
Fart and love them. There you go.
Don't you love them?
Sure.
From The Fly.
Yeah.
From this movie. What else are they? There's
Transylvania
another.
Transylvania 6-5000.
My mouth was like, 5,000. That's Transylvania abridged.
Imagine if Siri was able to pull that out. 5,000. Oh, you mean the Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis classic?
We have to do that movie soon.
Sure.
Do you remember when I came home, or you came we home and do... I was watching it, and you're like, what are you watching? I'm like, I don't know, Transylvania 3600 or something. But Earth Girls Are Easy. An odd title, because Gina Davis is all class in this film. Her boyfriend is like a skis ball and cheats on her with a fellow nurse. He's a doctor. And then a spaceship lands in her pool with a Wayne's brother, Jim Carrey, and Jeff Goldblum as this like furry alien creature who she then takes to her salon. And then they look like humans for the rest of the film. And there's a dance-off as per required.
Yeah, there's a lot of dance-offs in these movies.
It's a requirement, John.
Okay. Well, it's checked the box, surely.
Dance Off?
This movie makes no goddamn sense.
It was great, though. It was good fun. And
you
this just... Is...
You, okay, so if they had have cast anybody other than Jeff Goldblum, would you have given a shit about
this? Yes! Gina Davis, maybe not.
It's but... weird that it's a musical. That's what I'm having trouble getting around.
It's not really a musical.
There are a ton of musical numbers in that movie.
Do they sing?
I'm pretty sure it's listed as a musical.
I don't think so.
They communicate through music, mostly.
Nope. I disagree.
That's how they learn English phonetically.
Whatever.
Through sound.
Oh, you're thinking too much about these movies. You need to turn your knob down for horror comedy. You need to turn it from, like, horror genre indie to horror comedy 1992.
Okay, not only was there a musical number when Gina Davis had her makeover, which I'm assuming they do for everybody.
I forgot about that.
There's a musical number when the guys have their makeover.
Okay. I know we're not officially talking about this film this week, but I just
want to... It sure sounds like
this one moment I think everybody needs to recall or find on YouTube is when they're doing the makeover on all of the aliens, and Jeff Goldblum comes out of his pod, and he is dreamy as fuck.
Right.
And he does this, like, flippy hair smize thing. Do not even you have to admit how dreamy he was when he came out. He was just like,
Sure, I suppose. I don't really know.
So yes, then.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
You
yes, of course. Gina Davis looked dangerously skinny in that movie.
I think it's just because she's so tall.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's another one of those movies that I was so surprised I hadn't seen. Why was Earth Girls Are Easy not playing on TV all the time when we were kids?
Mainly because it's about a bunch of dudes chasing women.
Yeah, but I would say it's more campy and less sexual. I mean, the title is pretty sexual, but the film is more about love, and Gina Davis is really like a surfer girl. She's so easygoing about these aliens, and her character is just like, meh, the entire film. Like, I think she's got depression that's undiagnosed, and she's just like coasting because she doesn't give a fuck. Also, her decor sense is amazing. Why don't you like this film?
I didn't hate it. I just thought it was okay. Halfway through, I knew we weren't going to do it for the podcast, so I was just like, well, we're wasting precious time right now.
Yeah, it wasn't horror enough, but, oh man, I loved it. I want to watch it again.
It was good, yeah. I'm sure I'm going to get, like, hate for not absolutely loving
it. You should get hate.
Whatever, it was good.
It was wonderful. All right, John, then what is keeping you creepy this week?
You know, you guys might not know this about me, but I own a lot of ugly Christmas sweaters, some by choice and some just that family have given me.
Some with pugs on them.
Some with pugs, some with pizza. I even have a Jack Skellington one that doesn't fit anymore, but I refuse to get rid of it because...
One day.
One day, yeah. We just made our own ugly Christmas sweater, which is perfect if you're just trying to inject a little horror into your Christmas morning. And I can't wait to wear it.
Yeah, expect very soon there's going to be a cheesy matching photo of you and I in our matching sweaters. I'm very excited for that. But if you want to grab your own, they're available for a limited time on our web store. You're going to have to pick them up very soon, though, to get them in time for Christmas. Right now, we're going to be shipping them all priority, and all of the cutoff dates are actually on the listing. So you can check out if it'll make it to you in time. I think the last date to order for US is December 11th. So just to ensure holiday delivery, if any of you are getting them for gifts. But you should definitely check them out. They're super cool. They say stay creepy. There's bats and skulls and
right.
All kind of technically Christmassy, but mostly horror-y goodness.
It's great. And honestly, we should keep whatever remaining stock we have after Christmas for half Christmas.
Half Christmas.
Right?
That's great.
Half Christmas is the best. You get to drink, you get a keg of eggnog. You drink it in the work parking lot.
Ew.
It's from Workaholics.
Oh.
This isn't just an idea I have.
I'm like, what?
But we should get a keg of eggnog. You
we
know,
do not nog.
No, I'm not a nogger, but... I'll invite people over and live vicariously.
Here, I bought
them.
You nog.
Yeah.
Drink it.
Come to my house. Act like an idiot and drink this.
Drink your nog. I have procured it.
Now say thank you. Wear the sweater.
And before we finish up the Keeping Us Creepy segment, I also have a recommendation for you guys this week. If you are on Shudder, you have to go check out The Nightmare. It's from Germany. It's from 2015. It's not quite horror, but it's definitely really weird. And if you like our normal indie horror recommendations, you're really going to love this. It's kind of a creature feature. It's kind of psychological. It's kind of fantasy. And it's got a lot of themes, and I'm still kind of unpacking them all, but I loved it, and it's still sitting with me a few days later. I haven't gotten John to watch it yet, but we're going to sit down and watch it, and hopefully we can kind of have a discussion together about it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we were thinking maybe something for Patreon, so keep your eyes peeled for that, but definitely go check it out. It's on Shudder, just landed the beginning of this month, and it is so good.
Thank you for being intentionally vague. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't like when people ruin movies that are really indie and it really hinges on what's going on in the film, because I don't be like, this thing happens and is it real or isn't it real? Like, just watch it. It's kind of ambiguous, but it could be a whole host of things.
Got it.
It's great. But let's get into these movies this week. So this week, we haven't even said both films.
Have we not?
No. So this week we are talking...
Yeah, we have.
Have we?
We've talked about My Boyfriend's Back.
Did we?
A few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Let's start with Once Bitten.
Mark Kendall's a regular guy.
Get me out of here!
With normal problems.
I want to, but I want it to be special.
But Mark's just discovered...
Hello, tall, dark, and handsome.
...that his one-night stand...
I haven't had anything this pure since the Vienna Boys Choir hit town.
...has been around for centuries.
I'm 390 years old.
400 if you're a day.
Mark Kendall is necking...
Finally happened.
...with a vampire.
Did I enjoy it?
Now, he's losing his girl.
Bit my lip.
His customers...
Get out of here!
...his image...
Look, I'm not there!
...and his mind.
Oh, wow, I love your outfits.
I'm not wearing a costume.
Mark's got to choose.
It's like you're not the Mark I thought I knew. You look like Jerry Lewis.
...between his first love...
I'm the owner of the pants you've been trying to get into for the last 4 years!
...and his last date.
How would you like to spend eternity with me?
I can't. I gotta go to college.
...before his future goes up in smoke.
How'd you like your crotch set on fire?
Ooh! Rough trade.
Nothing is sacred.
No!
In a tasty comedy.
Can I have one of those uncooked ones?
You can sink your teeth into.
How was it?
Delicious.
Once Bitten.
Once Bitten.
I don't want to be a vampire. I'm a day person.
Got this soap opera filter on it. Like, they filmed it in a porn mansion. They definitely filmed it in a porn mansion. 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb and an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, Ebert didn't see this movie?
No.
No?
Maybe he did, but it's not on Google.
He won't admit to it.
So, if you are uninitiated with Once Bitten, it is Jim Carrey's first leading role in film. It might be his first major film role in general.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, Jim Carrey, a sexually frustrated teen, as they all are, is bitten by a vampire, and hilarity ensues. That's really it. There's nothing to this movie.
And the plot... I feel like it came out even too late for the sensibility at the time, because Jim Carrey is an asshole. The character is an asshole. And I'm watching this without rose-colored glasses. I don't have nostalgia for the film. I just saw it a week ago. What the fuck? He is such a butthole. His girlfriend wants to protect her virginity, isn't ready to have sex yet. He tries to have sex with her in his ice cream truck around a whole bunch of other couples that are having sex, Grease style.
That
in
was
theater.
Probably the funniest, the part, funniest of the entire part of movie. The film. He stands outside super frustrated, and you can see every single car is just rocking in the parking lot. They're parked inches away from each other.
So Jim Carrey wants to lose his virginity so bad that he takes his two loser pals to some weird hookup club in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if these are a real thing. Obviously they were. It's
maybe
like instead of a speed dating, it's telephone club, and you have phones on every table,
and you can
and
dial
the phones
up a table.
Can call other tables. That would be fun if, you know, sex wasn't on the menu. If it was like, oh, that table looks like a fun couple who would play board games, let's call them over. But no, it's just for swinging and shit.
Can you imagine? You could just find a dark corner and just get a
what?
Ton of phone calls.
Oh, I thought you were like,
what?
Find a dark corner
no.
and play some Yahtzee. And I'm like, is this a... What?
Is Yahtzee a euphemism for something? No, I mean, as long as you're not, like, right in the middle of that entire club, you could just be answering phone calls and saying, like, I'll think about it, buy me a drink. And then just leave after an hour, like, not yet, buddy.
That whole concept of that club just baffled me. So the entire time when they were there, I was like, he has a girlfriend. What is he doing?
And he's totally cool with this. His friends talk him into it. Oh, let's go cruising the strip.
Oh my god.
Because you've waited long enough, more or less, right?
We forgot to talk about the montage when they go to L.A.
I'm sorry, which montage? There are a few.
Okay, so the montage when they're going to L.A. takes 12 years for them to get to the club because they're driving in this car. There's a woman walking a lion down the street. Funny. They actually, in the trivia for the movie, they didn't film that. It wasn't in the script. They just hired a company to do a montage for the film because montages were so hot then.
Oh, God.
And it was just this random LA montage that they just spliced into the film.
What?
Yeah.
So they just shot Jim Carrey and his buddies sort of reacting to stuff that they couldn't
see. Wasn't in the script. Wasn't in the plot. Like, they weren't going to do it. And then they were like, you know what this film needs? A montage. Who has ever said that?
Wow.
You know what? We need more montages.
What if they were just trying to, like, pad it out? Like, this movie's coming in at 79 minutes, guys. Like,
we're walking a lion.
79 minutes? Oh, yeah, we could put in a few montages. Like, cool. Yeah, okay, cool. We'll have it done by lunch. Like, oh, man.
The lion. Oh. If you need an example of this entire film as a whole, you just need to look at the weird woman walking a lion. Doesn't quite fit in. You don't quite understand the tone. And is it threatening? Maybe. This film is kind of a comedy, but it doesn't quite have a voice, and it's a weird tone. Like, we were talking about, how have we never seen this film before? Because it's so sexual in nature, and it's not ambiguous or quirky or campy about the sexuality. It's pretty blatant about the sexuality. This couldn't have played on a Sunday afternoon without some major cutting and overdubbing. Whereas most films were at least tongue-in-cheek about the sexuality. All the teen films coming out around this time were about losing it. Mm-hmm. But at least they were done in a way that kids could kind of watch it and it would fly right over their heads. This is just, it's about sex.
Yeah, in the opening of the movie, the vampire, who I think her name is just the Countess.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a name. She's the Countess. She needs, this is the real plot of the movie, right? Like, one, Jim Carrey wants to lose his virginity. Cool. The Countess needs to eat three virgins by Halloween night?
Is I don't think it's Halloween? Three. I don't quite know the rules.
Yeah, I think it's Halloween three, but she needs to have her third.
Oh, she needs to have a virgin, and then there's this weird joke about how there's no virgins in L.A., and everybody's all like, meh. And then the
No, there's no virgins anywhere, is what they say.
Yeah, the oldest one they could find was 11, and she was like, nope.
I'm not, that's disgusting. I couldn't possibly. So essentially, it's like, I'm not going to have sex with an 11-year-old. Maybe it's that she needs to eat the virgin's blood, drink the virgin's blood three times. Maybe that's what I'm confusing
it with. Yeah, I think that's it. Because that's why it doesn't work out in the end, because she only drinks him twice, and she's trying to drink him a third time. Instead of just doing that, she kidnaps his girlfriend to lure him back to the castle.
Who's also a virgin,
yeah,
by the by.
And both of his friends who are there, are virgins.
These vampires are the worst scouts. They obviously want the Countess dead. It's like, nope, no virgins anywhere. No, we've been to every high school, and they've all lost.
Everybody else in this virgin... Everybody else in this movie who's not a vampire is a virgin.
Basically, yeah.
Everyone.
That sounds honestly like
except
high school.
Except for that lion.
Except for the lion. How does he wind up with her again? I don't
so
even remember.
She's at that stupid hotline bar.
Yeah.
And she's sitting at the bar, and she calls him.
Does that seem like the good place to find a virgin?
No.
A bar where, like, all the shadiest
the
people in the town.
50-plus-year-old men go?
Yeah.
And so she picks him up, and he willingly, not hypnotized by any vampire's kiss or nothing, goes to her McMansion.
Kim, I don't think you know what it's like to be a 15, 16-year-old boy.
Okay, a single 15, 16-year-old boy is fine. He could have dumped her and been like, you know what, I can't wait, hun. And to at least, like, close off that window. But no,
you know how
didn't say anything.
Have you ever seen those videos of farmers walking around with divining rods? And, like, no matter how hard they try, they can't keep them away from each other because when they find water, it just, like, immediately flies.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you see where I'm trying to go with this.
Those divining rods could have broken up. Before they started divining. That's all I'm saying.
No, I know. I'm not trying.
They're just, oh my God. So willingly goes to her McMansion. She bites the buttons off his shirt. I'm going to say this because it sounds like I'm being oddly specific, but it happens at least three more times in the film.
They make it sound like biting buttons. This movie was written by a virgin.
It's written by the Pussycat Dolls.
Is that in a Pussycat Doll thing?
No, they have a song about buttons.
Do they?
Yes.
Is it about biting buttons off a shirt?
It's about buttons.
It's just about buttons. Oh, man. They seem to think
that's
biting
foreplay.
Buttons off a shirt is something everybody does before sex.
No, that's what vampires do because they're so seducey.
They bite your buttons?
Bite your buttons.
I mean, you know, most people don't do things. And I think that, I mean, that's, they, you do. I mean, you do. You're a doer. I mean, you are a doer, and you do. You're a beautiful dress too. I have a picture of my family in my wallet. You know, you might take a look as long as you're down there. Ow!
It's so like what?
It doesn't make sense.
Okay, so then he passes out at her place. And he wakes up without pants on. And there's this really uncomfortably, stereotypically gay butler she has who appears with orange juice. And it's kind of just hovering around the entire film just to remind you that the people making the film have odd sensibility about gay people. We'll get back to that later. And he assumes they've had sex. He goes back to high school. Girlfriend finds out. Shit goes down.
But he's like, honestly, like, I don't even remember it. It just happened. And, you know, you weren't putting out.
Yeah. And he does. He does that, like, gaslighting thing where it's like, it's your fault, Robin. You didn't put out, Robin.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it. But,
Robin.
Robin. They've been dating for 6 years at this point.
I think it was 4 years. They said 6 years, but then they said 4 years later on. So then there is the best dance-off. Now, I have things to say about the tone and the comedy of this film. I don't think the jokes quite land, and I didn't really laugh a whole lot.
Nope.
But the dance sequence redeemed the whole film for me. I watched it 3 times.
How is it that all of these shit movies have great dance sequences?
So good.
I mean, like, they're not great. Like, nobody's like, Jesus Christ, it's like Danny Kaye and Fred Astaire have just been reanimated. No, none of them can dance.
Okay, the best part about this dance sequence, the actress that played Robin, the girlfriend, definitely a dancer. That's probably why she was hired.
I would think so. She's dressed as Jill?
Jill.
And he's supposed to be Jack.
But he didn't dress up.
No.
Jim Carrey has actually got some pretty good moves. It's the first time you've seen Jim Carrey do his physicality in the whole film. And then the actress that plays the Countess, Lauren Hutton, was like an ex-supermodel, does not dance at all.
Basically shot from the waist up the entire scene, right?
So they're supposed to have this, like, he's mine dance-off between the two girls, and the vampire is doing as little dancing as possible.
No, she's just kind of, like, hypnotizing him over, yeah.
Yeah, whereas Robin dances circles around her. Jim Carrey is awesome in that scene, though. He does some insane stuff. And he's lanky in the way that we know him now, but because he's so young, it's cool to see how, I don't know, much raw talent he had, or whatever you say. You are not up with dance scenes, and I'm really not happy with it right now.
I just don't like these movies. The dance scene's absurd. It lasts like 8 minutes.
It was so good. I sang the song for the entire weekend.
Okay, well, the song's not hard to learn. Here are the words. Hands off.
He's my property. Hands off.
That's it. That's all it is. That's okay. I've inserted a clip right here. It's no big deal.
Oh, good. So I can stop singing.
Yeah, basically.
That dance sequence gets an extra point for me.
It's one of two or three songs that were definitely commissioned for this movie that were used several times.
Once Bitten!
Oh, man. Do they even say in Twice Shy? Because I don't know any of the other words.
I don't think so. Don't you love that weird soft spot of teen movies where they all had their own theme song? I mean, Mean Girls doesn't have a theme song. Why didn't it come out with, like, Mean Girls with the burn book? Movies should do that now.
You know,
they need their own theme song.
There were some dark days in Hollywood.
Coming soon on video cassette.
We've made it out of them alive.
And other cassettes.
I don't want to be dragged back into it. And other cassettes.
Oh, man. Is there anything else to say about this movie? Oh, okay, so we'll spoil the ending for you, because just in case you haven't watched it in a while, the vampire kidnaps the girlfriend because it's so much easier to kidnap a girlfriend to lure the guy over, and then they deter the vampires, and there's a whole bunch of vampires with some random wall torches.
You completely glossed over the scene where he goes to see her at work. She works at some sort of department store, and the vampire's in the dressing room.
Pulling his buttons off.
Yeah, biting off his buttons, drinking his... Okay, so for the entire movie, you're not 100% sure whether he's sleeping with the vampire. We find out later from a very stereotypically Indian? I don't know, from a... Like,
oh my god, we forgot to talk about that. So...
She goes to a librarian who's essentially an even more of a caricature than, say, Apu is in The Simpsons.
Oh, the whitest of white guys playing with this full, comically bad Indian accent.
It's like Mickey Rooney in... Breakfast at Tiffany's this trying to do the Japanese landlord.
You know what I thought you were going to mention was the gay scene where they're all in the shower at the gym and the friends are trying to find the vampire bite on his thigh.
Yeah, so the librarian tells her that, like, these vampires will drink the blood of virgins. And he goes, but, you know, where would you find a virgin these days? So when he explains that there should be bite marks on his inner thigh, Robin commissions his friends to spy on him while he's showering.
And it is...
It's a very long scene.
It is a very long scene. And it just shows that, like, weird no-homo phase that was going on. I guess maybe it's still going on.
Yeah, it's interesting when you watch movies from, say, 20 years ago where...
Somebody literally shouts fags in the shower.
And they all run out.
Oh my god!
It's really interesting that not even necessarily being gay, but being perceived as gay when you are not gay is a fate worse than death.
And then there's a whole scene afterwards where Jim Carrey's like, what was it, that scene in the shower? And the two friends are so worried about being seen as gay.
They're, like, cripplingly depressed at this point. He's like, our lives are over, man. We might as well move in and get his and his towels. Like, okay, cool, do it.
That dance scene, though, I mean...
Okay, so the movie can do no wrong if the dance scene is still included. I see how this movie got made.
Yeah.
From there, yeah, Robin's kidnapped, and we make our way back to the Art Deco funeral home that they're living in.
The McMansion.
There's no way it wasn't a spa, right?
Yeah, there was that weird hot tub room where they had all the coffins, but none of the water was running. So...
I actually thought it was a funeral home until we got to that weird spa room.
Yeah, it was really weird. The only room that they dressed, I feel, like, of the set was the living room that they spent so much time in. They just put a painting up of the Countess, and that was really it.
Yeah, nothing says money. Old, rich, like vampire one painting. Money. Yeah, like, one painting and a carpeted, sunken living room. I hate sunken living rooms.
I kind of like them.
Why?
I don't know. Trip people up when they're drunk. You can never become an alcoholic with a sunken living room. So, kidnaps girlfriend. They all go... They deter vampires with single torch.
Yeah.
And then they're running around the McMansion for like 8 minutes too much time. And then they thwart the vampire just in time by climbing in a coffin and getting it on.
Yeah.
And so the moral of the story is that girls shouldn't be prudes.
Here's the best part, though. They open the casket, and when Robin pops her head out, she spits a button at the vampire. Like, okay, so
and Jim
even
Carrey,
Robin no. thinks that this is what you're supposed to do.
And Jim Carrey sits up and he's smoking 2 cigarettes.
Yeah.
I mean, lessons for girls-wise, not so great. Perception of gay people and other races-wise, not so great. But it did have a really good dance sequence, and I guess it is a product of its time. I don't know, though. Do you guys think that this movie is funny? Like, what did you laugh at? Because it's funny in a removed way, like I'm laughing at it, but I don't know if I would have been laughing with it.
No.
Did you laugh with this movie at any point?
The only scene I laughed at was that scene at like Makeout Creek.
Yeah.
The Makeout parking lot. Because it was absurd. It was really over the top, and I was expecting more of that in the movie, but no. This movie was just nonsense.
Yeah, I think I liked it. The stuff that bothered me, it bothers me with now eyes, and I can kind of... It's not too ill-willed in the film. It's just not acceptable now. It's not like they were trying to be super against gay people, but it's hard to watch now and be okay with those things. But that dance sequence...
Ugh, always with the dance sequence.
It was as good as Top That, John, from Teen Witch.
Well, that remains to be seen. What's your rating for the movie?
I'm going to go with a 1.5 out of 4.
I'm going to go a 1 out of 4.
Yeah, I bumped it up because the dance was so good.
Ugh, what is with you and the bumps? Like, there's a dance-off bump, there's a nostalgia bump.
I can bump whatever bumps I want to bump. I'm a free woman.
All right.
Next film?
Yeah, come on. Let's get on with it. You can tell I was excited to watch these movies.
You need to like bad movies more.
No, I can't. No, I don't. And no, I can't.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Next up is My Boyfriend's Back from 1993.
They say you only get one chance at life, but for childhood sweethearts Missy and Johnny, true love will never die.
My boyfriend's back.
He came back from the dead for me.
He's a stinking zombie, you idiot.
He may be dead.
Rats.
But his heart still beats for the girl that he loves.
I would love to go to the prom with you.
Go for it, Johnny!
Pretty damned active for a dead guy.
My Boyfriend's Back, rated PG-13.
Currently sitting at a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb and a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is lower than Once Bitten.
Which is crazy. You know, it might just be... No, I don't know. I was going to say it might be that Rotten Tomatoes was around. No, it was not. There's no fucking... Who do I think I am?
So My Boyfriend's Back was actually surprisingly enjoyable.
You'd be amazed how many times I watched this movie as a kid.
Oh, really?
Oh, I've seen this movie at least a dozen times. Going into it, all I really remembered, because I couldn't really sell you on it, was loves a girl, dies, comes back from the dead. I don't remember why. There's a really weird dream sequence where he's having sex with her in a wrestling ring while her dad's, like, the ref. And that was kind of about it. But watching it, so many scenes, like, clicked back in my head. Oh my god, I remember this being my favorite part, and I remember this being really absurd. But I felt like I watched it with fresh eyes.
I didn't realize that you had seen it so many times, because you're like, yeah, watch this one. And it had a lot of comic booky stuff.
I don't remember that at all.
And a lot of monologuing, like voiceover monologuing.
So much narration.
At first I was, this is very bad. And then I was, is this still happening? And then I just bought into it. And I was like, this is terrible. And they're still doing it. Oh my god.
Nothing spells bad to me like showing clips or scenes from the climax of the movie and going, but we'll get to that later.
Oh my god.
Oh, I never, ever. I don't think anybody does it anymore, but I never want to hear it again.
Writing gold.
Okay, by the way, do you know who wrote the script for this movie?
Who wrote the script for this movie?
Dean Lorre, who wrote Jason Goes to Hell.
Wow.
Yeah. I think both of these movies came out in the same year.
Wow. I do want to say, though, before we get too deep into the movie, My Boyfriend's Back is the best title ever.
It's great.
It is such a good title. The original working title was Johnny Zombie.
Also good.
No, terrible.
Very
awful.
Good.
Worst. No, you don't even know what that is. Johnny Zombie?
No, I have no idea what it is.
My Boyfriend's Back is great, though. The weird thing about it is... he isn't her boyfriend.
Not at all.
The entire film.
Not at all.
She never gives him a title. And I think that's on purpose because he's dead.
Even when he's dying, though, she's like, yeah. So
okay. He loves this girl. She doesn't know who he is. Typical story. She works at a convenience store.
Who's making a teenage girl work at a convenience store in the middle of nowhere, unattended?
Screenwriter.
Okay.
So he goes in, him and his friends set up this thing. He's going to pretend to rob the store, and Johnny is going to be the hero, and he's going to defend her honor against the weapon-wielding assailant.
Yeah.
When it happens, it goes down. A real robber comes,
so great.
Steals the friend's mask, goes in with a real gun.
Yeah.
Johnny gets shot in the chest, trying to be a hero, and dies immediately.
It's great. The best part about it, he's shot. He's staring at the bullet wound, and he says, will you go to the prom with me? Her response, absolute gold, because she's not overwhelmed and just like, of course I will. Yeah, anything. She still hesitates, like, yeah. Like, not even like, this is something that we shouldn't be thinking about right now, but I don't have another answer that I'm allowed to give.
Yeah! So much was conveyed in that,
He gives a thumbs up to his friend and dies immediately.
And then he comes back. They have a funeral for him, and then he just comes back.
That funeral scene's brilliant. First of all, I think I'm just nuts about POV shots from
Graves. I knew you were going to say that. How did I fucking know?
I love those shots.
So, There are a lot of really good shots in this film. Like, there's a point where Johnny's riding around the town on his bike, and then it does a weird, just a 3-second POV from the front of his bicycle, and it looks great.
Yeah, it looks
super fun. So needless. Same as that POV shot. Looks great, but just is, like, the director was like, I'm gonna shoot it down here today. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they just cut it into the film, and it happened. The best part, though, about this film is that he reanimates. He's a zombie, technically. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no curse. There's no gypsy. There's no magic spell. There's no incantation. He just comes back, and the gravedigger knows all about it. It just happens, and he's so nonchalantly, he's just like, hey, how are you?
Oh, you
look like you crawled out of a grave.
Oh, this is probably my favorite scene in the movie, yeah. You know, we haven't had anybody come back from the dead in, oh, I don't know, 15 years now.
No, he said Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. I thought he said Thanksgiving 15 years ago. But yeah, he's just brushing him off. You get the impression that he is also from back from the dead, right?
Oh,
the gravedigger. Because he's like, oh, no, you can't leave the cemetery. You cannot go out there. And he's like, what was that? I'm already across the road. Bye. Yeah, I like the idea that there's no curse, there's no nothing. It's just his want to take her to the prom was so great that he wouldn't even let the graves... Yeah, exactly, right? Ain't no grave gonna keep my body down.
So, and then the film carries on in that style of nonchalant to undead because nobody bats an eye about him being back from the grave.
Especially his parents.
And it is my favorite thing about this movie. The parents' response to everything is so funny. My favorite scene is when Mom calls the doctor.
Johnny, breakfast is ready.
Coming, Mom. No, thanks, Mom. You look a little pale this morning, son. I'm dead, Dad.
How about some eggs?
Not hungry.
Not hungry, sister, here.
You got a temperature?
Of course not. I just told you I'm dead.
Well, I'm calling Emil Bronson.
I am not going to Dr. Bronson. I'm not that desperate.
Ho, 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 ho. I guess I know one young man who's not going to go to school today.
Hello, Dr. Bronson. This is Marge Dingle. Dr. Bronson, the reason I called is our son, Johnny, died the other day, and I was wondering if you could take a look at him. Would you like to talk to him? Sure. Johnny?
Yeah, his parents are played by Mary Beth Hurt, who I always recognize but am unfamiliar with. And also Edward Herman, which, I mean, everybody's going to know from The Lost Boys, right?
The head vampire! I'm sorry if I spoiled it.
Spoiler alert, guys.
30 years in the making.
Wait, that movie's probably older than 30 years now, right?
I think it's 88.
88, 89 era. Okay, yeah.
Or maybe earlier than that. Maybe it's 87?
Either way, it's 30-ish years. It's as old as Kiefer Sutherland looks.
Oh.
For good or bad.
Remember him in Flatliners for no reason?
Ooh.
I sure don't.
Who was more attractive, Kiefer Sutherland in Flatliners or Kiefer Sutherland in The Lost Boys? I want answers.
Oh, God.
Right?
I don't even think I could answer that.
I don't take you as a Kiefer Sutherland
gal
anyway.
I'm
so
not.
This is the perfect question. You like dangly earrings?
No.
You into lots of scarves and chains?
See, and I also don't like mullets. And
well, goodbye that entire decade.
And I don't like that weird, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer vampire brow, where they remove, the actual eyebrow and give them this weird wrinkly scowl.
Yeah.
Do not like that.
No, that's about it.
It's not attractive.
It makes them look like bearded dragons.
Or like Neanderthals.
Hmm. But they have been around for hundreds of years. Makes
yeah,
sense.
But they're also supposed to be, like, suave and... In my mind, a sexy vampire is aristocratic.
Like a Stuart Townsend of sorts?
Maybe.
Oh, perhaps.
The Crispin Glover of vampires. I don't even think he's played
Has
a vampire.
Has he played a vampire?
He just is a vampire in real life.
That's...
I
he's one of the daywalking vampires.
I follow him on Instagram, and he just uploads photos of him remodeling the castle he owns on the private island that he has.
Well, here's the most fascinating thing about that.
These are my frescoes.
Yeah, he takes... There's one series of photos that I was looking at where there's a very long hallway that is separated by doors every 5 or 6 feet. And he was taking photos through each door, working his way back. It was great. It looked like the most fun flipbook that's ever been put on Instagram. But what's fascinating about that castle is that he's restoring it to what it actually was. It's not like he's just like, oh, this wallpaper would look good here. It's that he's going through blueprints, he's going through original pieces and artwork and just diaries of the people that own the place and literally restoring it to how it was in the 1800s.
I think the best part about that is he's doing it with hot tub time machine money.
Oh, that's good.
What else happens in this movie? So he comes back, nobody cares. He goes to school, nobody cares. Oh my God, the bully is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right? I wouldn't expect my 8-year-old brain.
He has an Oscar, right? Yes. I feel like he should, yeah.
Actually, I don't
does
know.
Does he have an Oscar?
He's been nominated dozens of times. I think he does. He has to have one.
Maybe he got one like post...
Posthumously?
I was like posthumously.
Yeah.
Oh God. John, help me.
I'm sunken in my chair and I can't get out.
I'm trying to words I can't.
I don't know that he's won an Oscar. Surely he has.
He has to have.
I know.
Maybe like Boogie Nights or something. Is he in Boogie Nights?
He's in Boogie Nights.
I'm like, oh God.
That movie.
John,
that movie.
I need help. I'm in drama. Help me.
I've seen very few Philip Seymour Hoffman movies that didn't deserve at least Academy nods. Including this one. That moment where he's chasing Johnny down the hallway because he got caught smooching his buddy's girl.
With the most put-on underbite ever.
Oh, I think he drools in this movie, too, right? Like, he's supposed to just be, like, the dumb bulldog friend who just chases
him. Bulldog is the best description of him.
Come here, you stinking dead yellow toucher! I'm gonna kill you, dead boy!
He pulls the fire axe, which...
That, like, escalated really fast. So he was teasing him with a bat. He breaks the bat on the lockers. And he's got no more bat. So... Oh, look, the axe is right beside me. And then he pulls the axe out, and you're like, wait a minute, buddy. This is going beyond bullying for a second here.
Yeah, when he swings the axe back, it jams in the top of his head and kills him instantly. It's brilliant. Does anybody have fire axes anymore? Is that still a thing? Or is it just like a...
I think so.
What is a fire axe for?
Oh, like if you're trying
breaking
to escape
down a door
a fire.
Or something? Yeah. I would assume... I mean, honestly, if it were me and if I was planning a high school, instead of having a fire hose and an axe, I would just have a cell phone behind a glass window that you could just call the fire department with.
Well, things are built so shitty now, though, is they burn in 3 minutes, so...
What's an axe gonna do?
Get you out in under 3 minutes.
You mean provide oxygen to the fire that's already only going to take 3 minutes?
I think we just have emergency exits and stuff now, like things that unlatch and open real quickly.
I can't imagine trying to use an axe to get anywhere. And honestly, here's the thing. Place is burning down, sure, your life's in danger. As soon as you put, like, 2 swipes of that axe into a door, do you not immediately go, like, I should probably say here's Johnny right now, right? And yeah, this is where he realizes that if he eats people, he will, he'll be fine. And Mom and Dad are totally cool with it.
They kidnap a little boy who's, like, 3. The parents are gold in this movie.
Yeah, she happens to kidnap the boy, the brother of the kid that he, quote-unquote, kills at high school, and takes him home for him to eat, yeah.
And the town is not cool with it. The dad of the bully is trying to kill Johnny. The girl is slowly falling for Johnny for reasons of which I don't quite know why. I think
persistence.
I think she's just flattered that he came back from the dead for her.
But as soon as he shows up at school for the first time, she's just grossed out. Nobody's amazed that he's back. Everybody's like, oh, what's up with the dead stinky kid?
Yeah. And she's just like, I don't really want to go to prom with you. And she never really breaks up with her boyfriend.
Ever.
She would do well with Jim Carrey in the last movie because she starts dating this dead guy. Not really dating, but she starts seeing this dead guy.
Mm.
Still has her jock boyfriend, though.
Yeah. The movie should be called My Stalker's Back.
My inappropriate crush is back.
Yeah. I think the biggest laugh I got out of this entire movie is when that bully's dad shows up to the house.
Dingle?
Yes?
I understand that your boy is a zombie.
Mm-hmm, yes, that's right.
Well, he killed and ate my boy today, so me and some of the other guys decided to come over and talk to him.
Well, honey, this is the father of the boy that Johnny murdered in school today.
Oh, I know how difficult it is to lose a son. We lost Johnny just a couple of days ago.
Yes, ma'am. I'm still reeling.
Stone face. Oh, man.
The weird thing, too, is the main character, Johnny, he didn't really do a whole lot more with his career. I think the last film credit he has on IMDb is from 2000.
Mm.
And same with the lead actress. She was in... Fright Night 2, I think.
Okay.
And not really a whole lot else. Matthew McConaughey is in this film.
Yeah.
He plays guy number 2 at the movie theater. He has one line. And it took us about 30 seconds to be like, was that Matthew McConaughey? Also, Matthew Fox from Lost fame is in this movie.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
And Renee Zellweger had a part that was cut out of the film.
Everybody's in it.
All these huge actors. And it's so odd that the leads just didn't I don't know, like, amount to a whole bunch. Like, they obviously had a lot of charisma in this film for all these big name stars to be in it. Like, Philip Seymour Hoffman played a dunce bully.
I love him and everything.
Such an odd role.
But the movie's directed by Bob Balaban, right? Who I know you're relatively unfamiliar with.
Like, uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's, like, he's known. Like, we haven't seen his other film, Parents, his first movie. And this movie actually got criticized for more or less reusing some of the jokes, or at least rehashing similar jokes. Oh. The actress that plays the mother in this movie is also in Parents. And Randy Quaid is the dad in that movie. And essentially, it's like a kid thinks that his parents are, like, cannibalistic killers.
Oh, fun!
Apparently, it's very good. And it's kind of quirky in, you know, the same way that you would see with Danny DeVito's movies. But he hasn't really directed too much else in terms of features after this. In terms of acting, I know him mostly from Christopher Guest movies. He was in The Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. He's, like, the real estate guy. He's bald.
The director?
The director of this movie is an actor. Mostly, mainly. Like I said, I know him from comedies. He's in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but you probably wouldn't recognize him in it. You don't remember him from The Pretty Thing That Lives in the House?
No.
The one of the three actors.
I know, it's
the
like
movie.
I remember the husband. I remember husband. The Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
Oh, that's right.
And then I remember the other Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
There were a few pretty things living in that house. But either way, like, he's obviously got a good eye on the camera. I'd like to see him direct more. He's done a lot of TV work, from what I can tell on IMDb. He even directed an episode of Oz.
So there's also this weird subplot with this doctor who's trying to find a cure for him, but then finds a cure for aging and decides to harness his skin. Meanwhile, the town's trying to lynch mob him, and all he wants to do is take this girl to prom before he decays, and he's slowly losing parts. His ear falls off, his arm falls off, his nose falls off. He keeps having nightmares. There's a whole lot going on in this film. The only redeeming thing is how hilarious everybody is reacting to this dead kid.
Especially that doctor, right? So it's played by Austin Pendleton, which...
Who plays Santa in Christmas and the Cranks.
That's exactly what I was going to say for you. Yeah, exactly. He's in fucking everything, though. That guy's in a shit ton of movies. And the thing that really gets me about this movie is the passing of time. So like I was saying earlier, when the bully's...
Oh, yeah, time is fucked up in this
movie. When the bully's dad shows up to, like, kill her son, he's only been alive for a day? That doesn't make any goddamn sense. When he goes to see the doctor, he's like, "Doctor, I got a problem." And then, boom, montage. We're doing test after test after test after test. And then we're sitting in his desk.
Even
and he goes,
when that
happens... "My ear fell off 20 minutes ago." Like, bro, you've been doing 3 weeks worth of tests.
Well, and two, he says, like, "I only died a day ago." And you're like, "Wait, what? So they had the funeral the day you died?" Like, I don't understand.
That's such a good point. It's like they really had this planned out. Like, okay, if the kid's gone, he'll be in the ground by dinner.
This whole movie took place over 2 days, I think. Like, prom was literally Friday, and he died on Monday.
Oh, that kind of makes sense. Like, he would wait till the last minute to ask about prom.
The timeline doesn't work, John. Stop trying to talk yourself into it.
No, it sure doesn't. Not gonna tackle that. His rate of decomposition is also kind of strange, but whatever. Have you read anywhere that people are saying, comparing all of the zombie problems to just the regular teenage problems? Which, okay.
Or they're trying to be like, metaphors, ripe with metaphors.
More
like,
or less.
I don't know.
Like him talking about wanting to eat her, or her saying, like, "Do you want to eat me?" kind of thing is the sexual aspect of it and the urges. But his decomposition is more about, say, acne. And also...
I don't believe that.
Like, acne and puberty. And then the fact that he's ostracized because he's a zombie. He's an outsider and an outcast.
I don't think that's necessarily a deep metaphor, though. He has a dream about her being like, "Eat me," and they put these like campy ass pigtails on her and put her in like a cheerleader uniform. Like,
at that
get
point,
what
it's
the
a little
metaphor
weird.
Is
at that point, it's strange. Yeah, of course. I never really thought about him falling apart as being like, "My body's doing all of these weird changes."
Yeah, like maybe he's a zombie and it's about a zombie.
Maybe it's also just about being a zombie. Yeah,
so he does get to take her to prom, she has to sneak out of her house. A bunch of stuff happens. And then
They
end up going to prom, and then they do their one dance, and then he collapses on the ground and he dies for reals.
Yeah.
And then you think the movie's gonna end,
yeah.
And he ends up in heaven. And then the angel at the gate is like, "Oh my god, we totes fucked up. You weren't supposed to die in the convenience store." And so they send him back, and then he still gets shot, and you think he's gonna die anyways? Then you find out, this is the pièce de fucking stalker resistance.
Yeah.
He is wearing a locket that he gave her in the previous plot that didn't actually happen. It's a locket of the two of them as children, like 4 and 5 year olds. And at this point, he hasn't even talked to this girl. None of the stuff in the film has happened. He's never kissed her. He never took her to prom. They never dated. They've barely talked. She has no idea who he is.
In fact, when he was 6 years old and he wanted to give her that locket, did not say a word to her, was too shy at his own birthday party to give her a locket.
And the locket blocks the bullet.
Yep.
She looks at it, and she's flattered about his inappropriate behavior.
I don't even know if I'd call it inappropriate. It's terrifying.
That is terrifying. Can you imagine real life, somebody you barely know wears it on a regular basis? Like, you would have to assume that. He's just in a convenience store wearing a locket of you as a child.
Underneath his shirt, too, so that way she's as close to his heart as possible.
Oh, my God.
That is grounds for a... Murder.
One of those restraining orders.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, one of those
distinct Her dad's the
things.
Sheriff. They don't even have to have a restraining order. He could just say, get the fuck out of town by sundown.
Yeah, really. Dad is funny, too.
Oh, yeah, Dad's great.
He's this weird character. I can't even describe him.
He's like a goofy cartoonish John Wayne.
Yeah. I really liked this movie.
It's good.
It's got its weird quirks, but the sense of humor is so up my alley.
It's crazy that I watched this movie so much as a kid. And, I mean, honestly, it's not like it's, like, super inappropriate either.
No, it's not too bad. It's the same as any teen movie. Like,
yeah.
The way I was saying about Once Bitten, how that is very on the nose. Most teen movies are like this movie, and they kind of dance around the theme so that it's not up in the air.
But as a kid, you don't. Like, you don't necessarily clue into all of it. You may get an idea, like, oh, they're talking about sex, but you don't really understand any of it, and you're not really going to repeat it.
Although, now that I recall, there is a moment in this movie when he's dreaming. We don't quite know it's a dream yet, because there's a whole bunch of those, oh my god, wait, it was just a dream. And his falls off and rolls down his pajama pants.
Oh my god. That's right. And then she can't possibly date him now. Completely forgot about that.
Literally, like, and there's weird, like, clunk clunk sound effects.
Yeah, it's like somebody's dropping a tin can.
And like a bowling ball is rolling down his leg. Oh god, the sound effects are weird. Every time, like, his nose got put back on, I was like, plunk! Like,
yeah,
a soundboard.
It sounds like a cartoon. And I think that's probably what they were going for. Like, let's make a cartoon.
Yeah.
Those shots from his handlebars, totally something that you'd see in, like, Hey Arnold or Doug, right? Yeah. Like, it's a fucking cartoon.
And with a lot of voiceovers and a lot of comic books. So what's your rating of the film?
That's hard. And I can't really say that I have a nostalgia bump for it, because I didn't really remember it. I just knew that I watched it a lot for some dumb reason. You know the best part, too? I didn't own it. I rented it a lot. Like, I literally spent money all the time on this movie, and That's I don't remember funny. A goddamn thing about it. I'm going to give this movie a 2.5 out of 4.
I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 4. I thought it was pretty funny. But we want to hear from you. Head over to Twitter right now and vote on our poll at NOFS Podcast if you liked Once Bitten or My Boyfriend's Back.
Yeah, these films are both absolutely crazy. You're a special kind of person if you've seen Once Bitten. I want to hear from the people that watched this as kids.
Yeah, I want to hear from people who saw it when it came out and the sense of humor and the weird other stuff in it.
Yeah.
Was it funny? Did you laugh? Did you see it as a kid? Did your parents let you watch it?
Are you currently listening to this podcast in a padded room because it affected you that much?
But that's it from us this week. If you're looking to support the show, head to our brand new merch shop. It's at store.nofspodcast.com. We have our brand new holiday tees. We have an enamel pin pre-sale, maybe if they haven't sold out. And we have tons of new merchandise. We have hats. We have a full zip hoodie. And there's our regular stuff, t-shirts and stuff. And they're all at a pretty good price. And they're really awesome. We have all of them. Not because we're fans of the podcast.
I'm not a big fan
But because
of this podcast.
When we go to conventions and stuff, I love not having to worry about what I wear. Because I just pack all black Nightmare on Film Street shirts.
Honestly, that has been kind of a blessing.
It's the best thing ever. We have a uniform now whenever we go to any horror or anything. Like, oh, gotta wear the Nightmare on Film Street shirt.
Soon enough, I'm going to have one of those stereotypical movie wardrobes where instead of it being like the same black suit over and over, it's just like a black t-shirt, a black hoodie, and a black pair of pants. Oh, what's that? Winter? No problem. Got a Christmas sweater too. It's gonna be great. I can't wait for it. But check out that pin. I'm really excited. We just launched our Cinema Cemetery collection. They're currently on a pre-order right now. So
if there's any left.
That's okay. The asterisk on that. Very limited quantity. But we will be shipping those out
very
in a few
soon.
Short weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm so excited. We have a whole bunch of pins planned out for the coming months. And it's going to be the best pin collection ever. So exciting. But that's it from us this week. Thank you again for listening. Be sure to subscribe wherever you're grabbing it so you can catch the next one in your feed. It will be out on Thursday.
But above all else,
stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. Just long enough to tell the tale of the nightmare on Film Street. Ow! Help us grow the horde. Leave a review on iTunes or wherever you subscribe. Continue this week's conversation on Twitter by following at NOFS Podcast. And as always, more terror can be found lurking on our website, www.NightmareOnFilmStreetPodcast.com. Until next week, stay creepy, fiends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.